It's the Colorado Real Estate Experience, where we talk about building wealth through real estate. Today, we're going to talk about managing your mortgage after you get it. When should you refinance? What should you look at when you're refinancing? All of those types of things, but you have to have a plan after you buy your place, and we'll help you out with that. So my co-host is Pat Draw. Pat, how you doing today?
Good. How about yourself, Dick?
I'm good. So today we're going to talk a little bit about managing your mortgage after you have it. You know, so we go through the whole thing on whether you should buy, whether you should not buy, when you should buy, your first time home buyers. Now we've bought our place. We've been in it, you know, 6, 8, 10 months. What do we do now? How do we manage our mortgage and take advantage of when rates go down or when rates go up? What do we do? All those types of things. Let's kind of talk about all that.
Well, so you talk about leveraging, you know, your asset as one thing, and that's one way to look at it. But I think right now you're looking at leveraging it from a couple of different perspectives because the money's cheaper. So, I mean, we can break it down in a number of different areas, and it talks about, you know, from a monthly savings, from an interest savings, from a being able to pay it off quicker standpoint, to even leveraging cash in your asset to use for other things while the money's cheap. So the number one thing I'm seeing right now is seeing that obviously people trying to lower their interest rate so they can create more, a lower payment. But which is with that said, I will say this, I feel like a lot of people have seen, and maybe they're just all listening to us weekly and they've gotten so much great information, they're doing this. But a lot of people really are going less towards the monthly savings as being the number one reason and more towards the overall savings as being their main reason. When I say that, I've got a number of people that have reduced their terms where their payments have, you know, maybe only gone up to 75 or $100 a month, but they've gone from, you know, having 27 years left in their loan to now they're at 25 or now they're at 20 years or even 15 for that matter. Because the idea is, you know, all right, well, here's this great opportunity with rates being lower, and rates tend to get lower on the spectrum, on the scale, the shorter the term, you know, so a 30-year fix is going to be higher than a 20-year fix or whatever. And so people are taking advantage of that and generally speaking, trying to reduce their term as well, which creates wealth a lot quicker. You know, when you amortize a loan out over 20 years compared to 30, you're saving not just tens of thousands of dollars in interest, probably $100,000 in interest or more, quite depending upon the loan size. But it makes a big difference, right? You're able to get that asset paid off a lot quicker. And depending upon your goals or your strategy with that long-term, I mean, it totally opens up the door for you in a number of different ways, for different things to use, utilize cash or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it all, you know, whether you're trying to lower your interest rate, trying to save money on cash flow each month, or whether you're trying to pay the house off quicker, it all comes back to what we talk about all the time is what's your plan? You know, why did you buy this place? What's your time horizon? You know, how long are you going to live in this place? All of those factors go into this, right? So I was talking to a client yesterday about purchasing a place, and we were talking about putting 5% or 10% or a little bit more than 10% down. And he, you know, we talked through that a little bit, and I told him that my, you know, he asked, well, which one do you think is better? You know, the lower down payment. And I said, well, I don't want you to use all of your money on your down payment because you're going to need some of that money for, he's very concerned about, you know, job situations and just things going up and down and that type of thing. So, you know, I told him, but I want you to pay your house off as soon as you can, if that's what if you're going to stay in this house for a long, long time. So the more money we can put down, the better, but I don't want you to put as much money, you know, too much money down to where you don't have any money to operate. You know, then you end up selling the house before you really want to. So there's a lot of things that go into these kinds of decisions. It's the same with refinancing. You know, you could save $200 a month or you could save $50 a month. That might make sense, But with the cost of refinancing and changing of your amortization schedule, saving $50 might be not worth it, you know, or it might take you 14 years to start saving that money, really. So there's a lot of things that go into these decisions.
There is, and you made a great point there, because one of the things that I think that we fail to look at is the overall strategy of the homeowner in terms of what this house means to them. You know, ideally, we're speaking from the angle of, you know, every house is an asset. Every house is a highway to wealth and building wealth for you for the future. But everybody has different goals on what they want to do with that.
Right.
Everything from paying it off as early as possible so they have no mortgage payment. Maybe at that point in time, they use or leverage the asset to buy another house or rental property. Maybe they just want to put more money in the market and not have a house payment anymore. Maybe they want to retire early. There's a bunch of different strategies. And so what we really advocate is sitting down and communicating what those strategies are, because that helps us or any professional in the mortgage end of things really help you plan for what makes the most sense. You know, talking to people now that are, like I said, I mean, we've got a lot of people who are reducing their terms, and sometimes their payments are going up, you know, so it's the cost benefit analysis is a little bit different, because I can't simply say, oh, you're saving $170 a month divided by $2,000 in costs. Right. And here's when you're going to break even. It doesn't show the same, right? Because it's not apples to apples comparison anymore. Now it's you're paying your house off this much early, and it's going to cost you this much to do overall, because your payment's going to be extra, you know, $100 a month for those shorter term. It's going to cost you, let's say, $2,000 to do the loan or whatever it might be. Now you got to look at the overall savings. Well, if you're cutting 10 years off a loan and the payment's $2,000 a month, that alone's, you know, a lot of money, a couple hundred grand, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah, so it's pretty easy to go, okay, well, now your savings, you're cutting off, you know, $100,000 for argument's sake in, you know, in interest and in payments to pay this off early. So the cost of $4,000 total with the, you know, the extra payment and the closing costs, it makes sense. You're going to come out ahead, you know, 96 grand. So, I mean, it really depends on the strategy that they're using as an individual or as a homeowner for the future. You know, what does that house mean to you down the road? How are you going to use that as an asset for yourself for in the future?
Right. Well, and what we do is we take a little bit of the emotion out of it too. And it's all about the numbers, right? It's all about working the numbers. And it might make perfect sense to do a 10-year loan versus a 30-year loan. And in a lot of situations, it doesn't. It's better to do a 30-year loan and then just pay a little bit more each month to make it a 10-year loan. So, because it gives you a little bit more flexibility. So it's something that owning a home, especially buying a home, is a very emotional thing. You know, a very you're tied to that place. It's where you're gonna raise your family and all this type of thing. And when you're managing the asset later on, that's what we're here to help you with. And we'll help you purchase it, and we'll also help you manage it through the years, so you can make the right decisions on when to refinance, when not to, should you pay points, should you not pay points, all those, should we buy the rate down, should we not, all those things we can lay out for you, and then recommend what we think is the best way to go, because there is so many different ways to do these refinances. You can, you know, let's say you're wanting to redo your kitchen, you know, how do you get money for that? You know, do you put it on a credit card? Do you do an equity line of credit? Do you do a cash out refinance? There's all kinds of different ways to do the things that that you want to do. And we're here to lay those out and to help you make the right decisions to, you know, to build wealth in the future. Because that's what we're all about, is for you to build the most wealth and accomplish your goals. What are your goals? How are you, how do you want to, how long do you want to stay in that place? Or, you know, are you redoing it to sell it? Are you redoing it to stay in there another 15 years? All those types of things we take into consideration before we lay out the numbers and recommend what we think the right way to do it is.
Yeah, Dick. So there's two things that you and I continuously talk about. And I know that we have these discussions with people as they're buying, or buyers that, you know, homeowners that come to us already with a house want to refinance. I mean, there's you have to split the definition of added value. We've talked about this a lot, but the idea is this: is you, when you're talking about an asset like your house, there's adding value in terms of doing stuff to your house that are going to add true value to your house. But there's one thing that we can't fail to really realize as individuals, is that there's added value to you as a human being as well, because this is still your residence.
Absolutely.
You know, again, some people listening may have rental properties, and we do have a lot of investors that we right. deal with, but I mean, we're specifically talking to you living in this home, you know, to reiterate something that I pound in everybody's head, and so do you, you've got to live somewhere, and there's no better way to build wealth in real estate, and you have to live somewhere, combine the two together, and you're building wealth by doing something you have to do anyways, right? And so the idea is this, is that when you look at spending money on your house, or look at leveraging your house as an asset in some way or the other, look at the two sides of adding value, right? How does it add value to my wealth? How does it add value to me as a human being?
Right.
You know? It, you know, going in and putting paint and carpet in your house it would definitely increase the marketability if you're going to sell it. But what if you're not going to sell it for any time in the next 10 years? You know, it's okay, because maybe you're not adding value in dollars and cents to your house because it's just simply carpet and paint, but you're looking at going, hey, this is adding value for me as a human being because it's improving what I live in and how I feel about where I live.
Absolutely.
And so I think that those are important, because I've had people say that, go, well, I don't know, that's not going to really add value to my house.
Right.
I'm like, well, are you going to like it better? Are you going to like walking in from a long day of work better if you have right. new carpet and paint, or maybe you had your cabinets refinished and you put different hardware on them, or whatever yeah. it is? You know, there's a lot of things you can do, and they're like, that makes sense. I mean, I'm willing to spend, you know, 10 or 15 grand or whatever to do all that, because it makes me feel like this house is fresh.
Right.
And it adds value to the way I feel as a person or as a human being, as a homeowner, even though maybe my value of my house doesn't go up any because of it.
Yep.
So I think it's important that you think about those things. Yeah, you know, when you're thinking through your decisions.
Hey, we've had that discussion. My wife and I, we're redoing our house. We're redoing our kitchens and putting new floors and doing all that. And the discussion was, hey, how long are we going to be in this place? You know, do we want to sell and move to some place that's already the way we want it, or do we want to fix this place up to where we want to go? So there's all these kinds of you know, emotions and, you know, calculations, you know, and we're spending a lot of money on this redo of our house. And is it going to, if we were going to sell it in the next, year, it probably wouldn't get that money back out because, you know, of what we're doing. But we're doing it for us. And I keep telling, because my wife has that same, well, is this the right thing? Should we spend this? And it's like, we need to do what we're going to do, because we're going to stay here for at least the next 10 years. So if we're going to stay here for 10 years, we want to enjoy the place and get it the way we want it to be, because I talk to you about this all the time. You see carpet being redone in a house in my neighborhood, and it's usually see the for sale sign
right.
2 weeks later, right? You know, every time you see carpets going in, you get a for sale sign a little while later. And I always say to people, you know, hey, you should, and a lot of people redo their house and they say, wow, this isn't bad. You know, maybe we should just stay here, you know, and we should have done this 10 years ago. So there's a lot to what you're saying, but it is hard, because everybody's trying to, well, if I spend $50,000, that's going to price me out of the market or this or that. And it's like $50,000 over the next 10 years, and you enjoy the place that much more, it's worth it. You know, and you just have to, you have to factor that in. It's not all about dollars and cents. Now, if you're a landlord and you're dealing with rental properties, you know, then it's much more of a calculated decision. But I think you're exactly right. You have to look at the emotional and the, because your home is a very important place for you mentally, security wise, spiritually, all of that. Your house means a lot to that, and I think we have to factor that into when we're doing these types of things and managing the house going forward.
Well, I mean, this is life advice, right? But no, the next day is never guaranteed. I mean, the next next minute of your life is never guaranteed. So you have to really balance those two things out. And I have that discussion a lot with people, because I have a lot of people who, right, especially in the market the way it is now, who technically are making, trying to make somewhat lateral moves, you know? And so when that happens, it's like, all right, let's think about what you just said. I mean, instead of making a lateral move, which could cost you money in terms of selling your house and then having to buy a new one, you may not be getting any gain out of it, but you're going to get some expense out of it. Would you not get a lot more value out of putting 25 or 30 grand into your house and doing things that are totally different?
Right.
You know, do something crazy. Like I said, you update the kitchen, update the bathrooms, you know, put on a deck, whatever. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that can be done. And that doesn't mean you can't do that. I'm just saying that I think, and I know, again, it's something that you and I have built into our, into really our presentation to our customers, but it's our clients, is to really just strategize on what makes sense for you for the future. And then make your decisions based on that. You know, there is an emotional side to it. And a lot of times people say, take the emotion out of it. Well, you're never going to take the emotion out of it when it's the house you live in, because you still want to live there. I mean, it has to be nice. I mean, have you ever experienced where, like, you know, you're constantly running, you're working, you're doing all this stuff, and then, you know, you spend a day and you're frustrated, but you just clean the heck out of your house. You get rid of stuff. It's kind of like the spring cleaning.
Yep.
Man, and then you walk outside and you're like, man, this is really nice. You know, this feels really good. Yeah. I feel like, hey, don't touch anything. Let's just sit here and look at it for a couple of days. Don't move.
Yep.
You know, don't cook anything to smell it up. Keep the dogs outside. Send the kids to the neighbors for a few days. Let's just take this in because this feels really good. You can get that same type of emotional response by redoing some things in your house.
Oh, and the easiest thing is just painting. Putting a few light fixtures, you know, changing your light fixtures. It doesn't cost hardly any. You don't have to move walls and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars either. You know, you just need to, you know, fix things up a little bit and every once in a while, like you said, spruce it up and do some painting and, you know, it makes a huge, huge difference. But I think the emotional part is very important, but the dollars and cents wise is important too. With what, you know, with the way rates are now, you might be able to have the same payment that you have now, pull some cash out to be able to do a new kitchen, you know, and have your same payment. So you're not even spending any more money than you were. You know, so there is a lot of different ways that you can look at this. So, and if you would like us to do a free, no obligation mortgage review for you and look at your mortgage, just text 720-650-6440, text the word review, and we would be happy to set up a time to talk with you and do a free mortgage review for you. That is, number is 720-650-6440, and just text the word review and we will set up a time to get together with you. But, you know, it just is good to see where the numbers are and especially with this environment that we're at now. And I believe we're going to be here for the next, you know, 6 to 8 months, maybe even a year, with low interest rates and things, with the election and everything going on. I think there is going to be some opportunities for people to save some money and do some different things with that money. And the more you can save, you know, some people, well, it's only $100, only $200, but what's the opportunity cost of that $200? You know, maybe paying your house off, you know, 7-10 years earlier, or taking that $200 and putting it into a different investment, you know, a mutual fund or something like that. So there's a lot of different ways to, you know, to take that extra money and start building more wealth with it.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, I think one thing that we can kind of really pull together here is to talk about the different pieces that the interest rate environment that we're in provides for homeowners or prospective homeowners. So the obvious is, if you're looking to buy a house, it really makes either A, your payment more affordable for the house you want, or B, helps you qualify for more house. Either one is very helpful. So I mean, those are two things that the interest rate environment we're currently in really provide for somebody who's looking to buy a house right now. So you think about it, either your payment's going to be less if you want a you've got your heart set on this $400,000 house, guess what? Your payment might be $100, $150 less a month. Or if you're like, man, I really would like to qualify for $400, but I only qualify for $375, you might now, because of the environment, you might now qualify for that $400. So those are two pieces to what this type of environment provides for people who are looking to buy a house. But the flip side of that are the different opportunities that we've kind of, you know, we kind of worked around here in the show today, was are the different things that you could look at from a refinancing perspective that could add to it, you know. And you have everything from purely lowering your payment, right? I mean, that's a big deal to a lot of people, and that is still the number one driving force for refinancing, is lowering your payment and paying less interest. You know, that's a big deal. We want to open up cash flow for people. You know, you look at the ability to pay off debt, right? We do have a nice increase in value in homes, so we have the ability to pay off some debts by refinancing, pulling some cash out, whatever it might be. Some people are paying off, adjustable rate seconds or HELOCs. They're paying those off now because they have enough equity to include them in there. They're paying off credit cards, that type of thing. Whole nother animal, right? That's a whole nother strategy to the piece of the puzzle in terms of what you can do, right?
Absolutely.
There's a million different things. You can reduce your term. We talked about that, reducing the term of your mortgage. You know, maybe here's an opportunity for you to cut 10 years off your mortgage and your payment only goes up 50 or 75 or 100 bucks, which maybe you can handle, but it takes a huge chunk out of the long-term interest that you're going to be paying.
Right. No, absolutely. And I'm just going to show a quick chart here. Pull up a quick chart. Can you see that? All right. So here is a 10-year treasury chart. So as you can see, this goes back 3 years. And if you see where we are, we're at the lows that we've been in the last 3 years. And mortgage rates kind of about where – there's not exactly where mortgage rates are, but this they follow the 10-year treasury pretty closely. But this just kind of gives you an idea. If you, you know, did a mortgage, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, it's quite a bit different than it was back then. So there is some opportunities, especially if you've got a $400,000 or $500,000 mortgage, and you can lower your rate by 0.75 point or a point. There's some serious money that you can have going to that. But this just kind of gives you an idea. This is the low that the 10-year treasury has ever been is right in this area. You know, 1.38, I think, is the lowest it's ever been. So we are very, very close to record lows in the history of the 10-year treasury bond. So take advantage of this opportunity to either buy a place or to refinance your place into the best rates that we've had in a very, very, very long time. Because these are not normal times, you know. These are the lowest that this 10-year treasury has been in the history, you know, of time. So it's real close to those levels. So take advantage of them as much as you can.
Well, it's a big deal for us, right? I mean, these are the opportunities where, maximizing the wealth that you're able to create happens now, you know, but it's no different than buying low, sell, or, you know, buying, not my strategy, buying
right,
high,
right.
Selling low.
You're right, buying low,
selling high. The world strategy of buying low, selling high.
Right.
It's the same thing when you're talking about whether it's real estate or even rates, you know, from the mortgage, you know, from the mortgage perspective. You know, you do what you got to do, you buy it when you got to buy it, but when the opportunity is there, you jump on it. So you're doubling down. Was that dollar cost averaging? You know, hey, rates are down. We're gonna dollar cost average, or we're gonna double up on what we're doing so that we can make more out of our investment that we already have by getting rid of the higher rate and getting a lower rate.
That's
right.
This
is what you do.
And don't try to pick the bottom either. That's where you really you know, nobody can pick the bottoms of these markets. You know, if it makes sense, you know, you do something, and then if it goes down further, you do it again. You know, that's the way to do it. But you don't want to miss out on these tremendous opportunities that are out there. And if you can save some money, saving money is just as good as making money. You know,
right.
We work real, real hard at our jobs and to make money and to invest right and to do all these things. But, you know, if we can save, you know, a few hundred dollars a month or $1,000 a month that I've, you know, saved, you can, if you can pay off some debts and be debt free, you know, with, you know, paying, with doing some cash out on your mortgage, it can really make a big difference to you in the future.
A lot of opportunities for you now. Now's the time to really jump on them and take full advantage of it.
Yep, definitely is. All right, so if you want a free mortgage review, just text us, 720-650-6440. We'd be happy to help you out in any way. This you can listen to this podcast, Colorado Real Estate Experience, on Apple, Spotify, any of the major podcast, wherever you want to get your podcasts, we're there. You can also look out a lot of great information at www.coloradomortgageadvice.com, and then you can find us on Facebook, also Colorado Real Estate Experience. And we would be happy to help you out any way that we can, answer any questions that you have. If you have topics for a show, just let us know. We'd be happy to talk anything real estate, anything wealth building, and anything Colorado. We're into all those things. So whatever you would like us to help you out with, give us a call, and we would be happy to help you any way that we can.
Sounds good. Well, you guys, everybody have a great day. We look forward to hearing from you.
All right. We'll be back next week.
Take care.